Thank you for joining a new podcast series from ILTA Radio entitled Work From Home. This series takes a look at many different facets of the organizational, technical, and human sides of the remote work experience. Join us as we find new, interesting, and innovative ways to keep productivity and morale up.
Welcome back to another episode of ILTA's Work From Home series. We're tackling the difficult topics that many ILTAns and partners are facing due to changing and challenging work situations due to the COVID-19 pandemic. ILTA is here to help make this transition as seamless as possible. And to that end, we are sitting down with member firms and partners to discuss how technology, legal, and good old-fashioned ingenuity are making a difference in our new normal. Today, I am incredibly excited to sit down with Amy Jures, CEO of Edge Legal Marketing, to talk about all things marketing in the time of COVID-19. My name is Beth Ann Stubbe, and I'm ILTA's Director of Publications and Press, and I'm thrilled to welcome you back to our series. Before we begin, I would love to direct listeners to the blog that accompanies this podcast. It is entitled, Cat That Ate the Canary, Marketing During COVID-19, and it can be found as a link on the same webpage as this podcast. We'll also link to the blog on our social media and the COVID-19 resource page. So with that in mind, welcome, Amy.
Hey, welcome. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So let's just dive right in. I know we have a lot to cover. And as your blog's very good points begin, there's a significant change to the way that companies are doing business across all sectors due to the COVID-19 pandemic. How are you and your team adjusting to the new normal of remote work and communication?
Good question. So, well, Edge has been remote since the early 2000s, which, you know, kind of dates me, but that's okay. And as far as my team in adjusting, I think we're pretty set, but we've had some challenges with some of our clients, and they're maybe not working, used to working remote on their side. And so we're helping them navigate those challenges, helping them provide communications, regular communications to their clients, and how they should be talking to their clients, how frequently, et cetera. So while we've been remote for many years, we are definitely seeing some differences in frequency and types of communications that are happening with our clients. And so that's one thing. But, you know, as far as the whole working remote, I remember back when I started working, you know, changing from an office, going in, you know, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, to working from home. I remember the challenge that I had. It just felt weird. It felt different. You didn't have that time to decompress or get ready for your day driving to the office or coming home, commuting. And so when you have a home office or you're working remote, you have to find ways to substitute for that. And it can be kind of challenging for people, like knowing when to turn their computer off. I don't know, Beth Ann, if you ever experienced that, you're like, you're working at home and something pops into your head. You're like, oh, that's a great idea. Or I should really, you know, I could just take a little bit of time out tonight to work on XYZ. And it's hard. I don't know if it's hard for you too.
I didn't know you could turn the computer off.
Yeah, exactly. No, you can. You can. And I'm not, believe me, I'm guilty as well, right? So it's just really hard to allow you to give yourself a break from that day-to-day rush and to just say, nope, I'm not going to worry about that now. It can wait until tomorrow. So being able to turn on and off, you know, is more difficult when you're working from home. You know, shut the door, shut the computer down. I always talk about those as best practices. And yes, I'm guilty myself, but I try my best. But, you know, there are some, I think it took me about 6 months to really feel comfortable working from home, and just with the schedule and the in and out, and if I wanted to run an errand over lunch, I started to not feel guilty about that as long as I got back to my desk, etc. But I think what people will find is that there's benefits to working from home as well, and communicating, you know, when you want and how you want is a little bit of a freedom. When you think about going back into the office, you wonder if, you know, is Karen going to be crabby today, or is she going to want to talk today? What's going on over there? Is the door open, door closed? Like all of those kind of office politics that you are seeing and feeling, they kind of melt away. And another good thing is, like, I remember back when I worked in-house for a business partner, I was called into so many meetings, and while I was a little bit flattered because I wanted to be involved, I also thought sometimes when I'm sitting in those meetings, like, why am I here? I would love to be doing something else because I wasn't quite sure why I was called into all these meetings. And so I found that working from home, I wasn't asked to come to as many meetings, which was totally fine, and everybody survived, right? I didn't have to be there. So it freed up my time to be able to focus on the things that I needed to focus on from a work perspective.
Keeping that work perspective is really difficult, I think, especially, you know, with everything that's going on economically and globally. How are you keeping your employees' morale up? You know, I'm lucky. I have a great relationship with one of Edge's employees, Vicky, and we have the ability to kind of ping each other. But how do you keep the morale up for everybody else?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, we would have team meetings and get on the phone occasionally, but I think COVID-19 has really driven us to do more of that and have more togetherness because I think we're all under an unprecedented stress right now. And so we actually have two different meetings a week. One of them is more serious and more, you know, talking about clients, talking about incoming new client startups, talking about any operational issues if we have them, which we usually don't, but if we do, we're talking about those. We're talking about clients and messages and how they're doing and brainstorming with each other and solving problems. So that's our Tuesday meeting. And Thursday, we just kind of initiated this a few weeks ago because we wanted to also relax and have fun together, is we did a happy hour. So last Thursday, Vicky was in charge of the theme for happy hour, and she picked, you know, hats, your favorite hat, crazy hat, whatever. And as a sign of the times, I wore a helmet, like a biker helmet, because I just, you know, I feel like we're all kind of in a little bit of a whiplash period right now. But we had a lot of fun with that. And so that's how we keep the morale up. And I think we're texting more than we used to and just kind of sending, you know, little funny tidbits here or there just to remain connected and try and lift each other's spirits up when we need to. Just a lot more communication.
I think that's awesome. I think that it's an interesting, obviously, a time for those of us on sort of the marketing and PR side to think about digital engagement. And I know there's a lot of Ilton questions coming into us about what's going to change and what are we going to see if the COVID stay-at-home orders continue into the summer? How do you think that digital engagement will change for not only your clients, but your employees?
So I do feel like because of COVID that there has been an increase in, you know, touch points, reaching out, doing more Zooms or doing more, you know, video conferencing and the texting and the Slack and et cetera. Microsoft Teams has been a really big conversation in one of the ILTA groups, the community groups and the discussion boards. And so there might be some burnout, like how many Zooms can we have a week? And so I just think that while it's fantastic that we are exploring these new avenues of communication, and, you know, and keeping in touch and being connected, I do feel like there might be a little bit of burnout. And I also feel like, you know, as we all know, everybody is working from home. And so it might be just this band-aid to, you know, bring us all together is all this instant communication and Zooms and video and everything. But I think as time rolls on throughout the summer, I think people, you know, like I said, it took like 6 months for me to get used to working from a home environment. And once I was, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so nice. And you can relax more. And so I'm hoping that if we do, you know, extend into summer, that people can kind of relax a little bit more in a way where we don't need to be, you know, touching base every single day, every other day or whatever else it would be, because we're not all in the same office together. There's just, I'm hoping we'll be more of a relaxed approach to that.
Let's shift gears a little bit and head more toward a marketing perspective. This is a weird time for all of us. And because we can't have those in-person meetings, those annual conferences, those just one or two day events where everyone gets together, shares ideas, panels, and, you know, just drinks after dinner. How do you build relationships now? How do you reach potential clients or even retain those connections that you had already established?
Yeah, that's another really good question. So I don't think that we have the magic mix or potion right now in terms of the answer to answer that question, but here's where my mind goes when you talk about that is when you're looking at your inbox and you're getting, you know, 20 or 30 emails a day that are more quote unquote marketing oriented, which ones are really grabbing your attention? Which ones are really making you want to read them? And I think in today's environment, whatever message you are sending out in front of your potential clients or current clients, it needs to be sensitive to where they're at today and, you know, what challenges they're facing today from their own perspective. So you don't want to be tone deaf to your clients and your new connections and where they are, you know, what the challenges they're facing today. And so, you know, you're not going to be pitching some new on-premise software product when you know darn well people are wanting things more in the cloud now. I mean, there's just a lot of evidence out there that the firms and the practitioners are more willing to go to cloud because that's just what they have to do for now. And I think that that will stick and that will stay. And it will, I think people will like having that flexibility as long as it's secure, right? And so when you are talking to your potential clients and trying to build those relationships, one way to ensure that they're going to listen to you and read what you're writing is to be sensitive and not tone deaf to where they are today. ILTA is with the LegalSec is doing a virtual conference. Now that's one way to just at least make an initial introduction to someone face-to-face, email-to-email, chat-to-chat, and then just gently build that relationship, whether it's virtual or through, you know, email campaigns or seeing if it's okay you can if you can add them to your marketing database. I know for Edge, we have a monthly newsletter that goes out, and everything in there is geared toward helping our clients or potential clients through COVID. And so we're not trying to sell, we're trying to help. And I think that that's kind of, if you are talking to people and trying to build a relationship, that that's the tone that you should take.
I think that that is excellent advice, completely. I think it's the right messaging. I think it's the right move. And really, we're all in this together. We keep hearing people say that, but it's true. We have to figure out, you know, just in case everything doesn't go back to the new normal.
Mm-hmm. And just, you know, just because somebody doesn't respond right away doesn't mean that they are not interested. They might just not be interested right now. And so to kind of keep that in mind too, I know from my sales perspective, I want to be sensitive to where my prospects are at. And if it's not good timing, I think it's perfectly okay to have that kind of conversation too. You know, rather than become more annoyed, you know, let's communicate about this and just be open about it and say, hey, you know, maybe I like it, but not right now. And then everybody will be more respectful of each other's space.
Again, I think that's great advice because we're having to juggle a bunch of different things that nobody saw coming. In your blog, we talk a little bit about kind of don't expect everything to go back to the new normal and ways to help communication plans evolve, especially if you have to handle a disaster such as this. So what are three crucial pieces of information that must be included in any disaster communication plan? Because I think frequently people aren't prepared.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So I think the crucial pieces are that you're here, you're still up and running, and that you're continuing to serve your clients. If there have been changes to how you're handling client inquiries or support issues, et cetera, that needs to be clearly defined in whatever kind of communication that you're sending out as part of that crucial messaging. And then also, like, how can you, beyond what you're already doing for them, for your clients, how else can you help them during these difficult times? And I think that's kind of what we're doing here at Edge is like, yes, this is what we normally do for you, but we understand that we're in different times. So here's some other options and or let's change what we're doing for you today, but we're still going to support you in a different way. And that kind of messaging has resonated really well with our clients. And then also, I think security is a big issue. People are nervous about that. If you look at Zoom, which Edge has been using for well over a year, they've done some really major changes and steps to help improve their security. So any other client or entity out there that is dealing with sensitive information should have a clear message to its listener base about how they're handling security. That's really important today.
I think that security part is vital for all of us, especially all ILTAns who are involved in anything that's, you know, in the cloud. What kind of marketing would you suggest that firms or clients shy away from during this difficult time? We don't want to appear tone deaf, but we do want to get the message across.
So as far as marketing, so, you know, taking advantage, so I know with the legal sec going virtual, what we're talking to our clients about today is how do you maximize your interaction and your exposure during these virtual events, what you can do, what you should not do also, but thinking more virtual contact, setting up Zoom meetings and really, or, you know, record something. It's so easy to record nowadays. And I think with social media and the younger generations really into, you know, just snapping and Instagram and TikToking like crazy, like informal videos and recordings are somewhat okay now, where I kind of came from a generation where, okay, you got to look perfect, you got to, you know, get your hair fixed. And, you know, I think the world is a little bit more relaxed now in that regard. And so maybe exploring some video or, you know, like this, like the podcast, right? And getting your word out that way too. But again, you know, remaining cognizant of your clients and what they're going through and to not be tone deaf.
So should I book you and Joy in for a TikTok video or not?
I think Joy would love that. I would love that.
I think she...
I would need some advice from my teenage daughters, though, because I must, you know, I would need that help.
Well, I think we've covered some exciting new marketing for both ILTA and Edge. But before we close, are there any last words for marketing advice, especially during this kind of pandemic and really trying to make sure that we're all there for each other?
Yeah, I think, you know, my biggest takeaway would be to not let marketing be kind of the headline of the blog post is don't be the canary in the coal mine, which is a former coworker of mine that now works for a litigation support company. He was part of my marketing team a while ago, not with Edge, but with the Quorum Litigation Services, if that rattles anybody's brain from way back. But he said, oh my goodness, marketing is the canary in the cave. As soon as they start making changes in marketing, watch out everybody else. And so right now, what we are doing and what we are telling our clients is if you're not, you know, obviously keeping communication and hit those critical messaging points, but also use this as a time to readjust, to shift, to look at what you have in terms of your marketing assets. Are they where they should be today? Your website, any kind of video, any kind of marketing collateral. Use this as an opportunity to clean up, clean, you know, create that new soundbite, whatever it is. So while you're still communicating to the market, you still need to think about the future. And once things start turning around, you will be so ready to go. It's just, you know, you need to take advantage of this time.
That is fantastic advice. And I'm thrilled to leave our ILTA listeners with that. Amy, thank you so much for joining us today. I am always grateful to speak with you. And thank you all for joining us for another ILTA Work From Home podcast.
Thank you.